Hello, this is Barry. Thank you for joining us online. We'll get to the next message in our Better Than Happy series shortly, but I wanted to take a little bit of time to invite you to join with us as we're trying to reach more people with the life-changing gospel of Jesus. Our church and our online ministry is growing, and every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story is important to God. Would you consider giving so that we can help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus? If you'd like to help us, go to gracepointkitsap.com/give. Thank you so much. After those songs, my message is now an hour and a half long. I'm so fired up. I'm so excited that next weekend we will be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is not dead. The grave is empty, and we get to rejoice. And the whole theme next weekend is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? So I'll be praying about that and be inviting people. You can take the invite cards at the exits. Take 2, 3, 5. We want them all gone by both services today. And we are praying that God would allow 2,500 people to come to Grace Point for Easter. And we have offsite, shuttle parking at Walmart. We're trying to prepare for rain, and in the Northwest, God's going to bring it. So we got to start. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, start praying. Start praying every single day that God would reveal himself to those who need to hear who he is. So that is next weekend. The Sunday following Easter, began studying this week for the series after Easter. Could potentially be a very powerful series. It's called this, I Want to Believe, But. We have an epidemic of people who have gone to church and who have walking away. Like, I want to believe in God, but I don't know if I can. I don't know if I believe anymore. I don't know if there is a God. I don't know that I believe in the God that I grew up with. And people are walking away, or they've stopped, they've had a bad experience, and I don't want to believe in that God. He doesn't answer my prayers. Bad things happen. I don't understand him. I wonder if there is even a God. So if you have somebody that fits that category in your home or in your life, be praying for them. I'm praying that God would bring who he wants here for Easter, and that many would return to answer some questions in this four-week series. So today we are finishing up part three, the last part of This Is What We Do. Because of what he did on the cross, out of the tomb, for all the love, all the forgiveness that God gives to us because of what he has done for us. This is what we do. The Bible is so clear of God has supplied us with finances, with resources, and because of what he did, out of worship, out of honor, out of obedience. This is what we do with God's money that he has provided for us. God has supplied for us. And what we're talking about is irrational generosity. Irrational generosity is a whole different mindset of thinking it's my money and I want to spend it my way, and we end up living in a cycle of scarcity and we don't have enough. It's because we're misusing a gift that God has. And he says, just honor me, honor me. And we talked about the very first thing is that if we put God first financially, put God first, that's his rightful place, that we are perfectly positioned for God's blessings. And the question was, how bad do you want God's blessing? Seriously, how bad do you want God's blessing? You can't disobey God in one very important area and expect the full blessings of God. So we started this tithe challenge. We did it a number of years ago. This three-month, 90-day tithe
challenge to test God. God says, test me in this, challenge me in this, and see if not I will open the floodgates of heaven and bless you. And last time we did this, we had a handful of people take the challenge. I'm praising God because this year, in this challenge, as of today, after two Sundays, we have 58 individuals or families saying, we're going to test God in this. We're going to test God with the very first fruits of what he has given us. Now, it won't be easy. You will be attacked. Satan will try to discourage you, defeat you. Because the last thing our enemy wants us to do is to honor God first and then to see God bless. I received a tithe story from a family in our church a couple weeks ago, and I got permission to share this. And years ago, they got a large family, and things were tight already, and they weren't giving. They were serving, but they weren't giving financially. And they had a conversation with their kids about God's provision, and this conversation led to them talking about, well, what are some things that we need to pray about, because it would be absolutely out of our range to do these things. It would be impossible. So they came up with this phrase. I love it. They said, we asked God for three him possible requests. Without him, it's impossible. So three him possible requests. Here's their request. God, we want to buy a house in the CK school district. God, our oldest is young now, but we have no way to pay her college education. We ask for you to do a miracle and help pay for her college education. And number three, we have a daughter that needs braces bad. We don't have money for that. So God, here's three him possible requests. That summer, as they've already been praying about, that summer in 2013 was very hard for them financially. Another child was on the way, was the mom that needed to quit her part-time job and lost some income there. And the same summer they lost income, their rent went up, their health care went up, their utilities went up. And at the end of the summer, they were down $1,200 per month of what they were used to. That was August. They said, and then in September, Pastor Barry challenged us with this 90-day tithe challenge. It says already, we were already upside down and struggling without giving any money, and now we're being challenged by God to trust him. They felt called by God to try it and test God, so they began to tithe. They write, I can't describe how hard this was. It felt like holding my breath for 90 days. We prayed a lot, we sacrificed a lot, and we trusted God that he had a reason for asking us to trust him. Now, if you are going to step out and you said we're going to do this, it's going to be hard at first. I believe God will test you. Are you really serious? Are you really going to trust me? And it was hard. 1 month, 2 months in December, near the end of the challenge, they write, three amazing things happened. At the very end of the challenge. First, we received a letter from our daughter's school saying that she has qualified for a scholarship to any Washington University for a full ride. She said, I almost fainted. This was not possible. Secondly, at Christmas time, they didn't have enough money for gifts for their kids or themselves. They received a large box in the mail from friends on the East Coast. It was packed with gifts. Electronic gifts for every child, plenty of games to match, a blanket for the baby coming, sporting good gift card for my husband, a massage and nail salon for me. It was over $1,000 in Christmas gifts. They said it was so much more than what we were giving in our tithe that God gave our family for that Christmas. I was overwhelmed. Then a relative called from the East Coast, said, hey, God put it on our heart. We would like to pay for your daughter's braces in full. Out of the blue. That April, they began having conversations with a loan broker to purchase the house they were renting. And that next June, they bought a house in the CK school district. See, when you trust God, he says, and it may not look like this in your life and every situation, but he says, I will bless you because you're honoring me first. Last week we talked about generosity begins in the heart, not in the wallet. Begins in the heart, not in the wallet. And we often says, we don't have enough. And God says, well, what do you have? Honor me with what you do have. I remember when we were in Southern California and all three of our girls were young, and we were strapped so much financially, and we were given every month. And at times it was like, oh, this is going to be hard. How are we going to make it? Our budget for months and months and months, our extra, our miscellaneous at the end of the month was a whopping $10 a month. That went really quick when you still had someone in diapers. But every month was a challenge. We began to teach our girls how to give, and when they received a little bit of money from grandma or grandpa, or they did a little bit of chores around the house, and they thought a dollar was like they were rich and wealthy, we began at that age saying, here's what a tithe means. Here's what the habit, get your heart in the habit of honoring God, and you give, you know, out of a dollar, you give a dime, and you keep the rest of the 90%, and you save some, and then you get to spend, you know, the rest. And just those principles, tithe, save, spend the rest. And so I remember going to church one day, and they had their little coins and ready to go to Sunday school. And I said, okay, girls, okay, remember to give your money to Jesus. And one of our girls said, I am so excited to give my tithe to Jesus. Our most competitive daughter chimed in. I'm excited. I'm going to give it all to Jesus. And the other daughter said, I'm not. In fact, I don't want to give anything. She eventually trusted in Jesus as her Savior. But at that same time, when it was so tight for us, I remember, I said, we need to take the girls out on a Saturday for pancakes. And I knew what we had, and I was like, Miss, we can't really afford this, but we'll sacrifice over here and here. But all right, let's go have a pancake Saturday morning breakfast. And it was so tight, I said, no, you're not going to have orange juice. We'll all have water. And while we ate, I was stressed because I knew the bill was coming. I knew that it was going to be tight. And the bill came, and I was confused because at the bottom it said 0.00. And I said, ma'am, you made a mistake. She goes, oh, no. She goes, the family saw you, and they said, we want to bless you. Thank you for what you're doing at church. I about cried because someone was generous. An anonymous gift at the right time. It was like God saying, I got you. It's not what we don't have. God says, what do we have? Today, we're going to look at three levels of irrational generosity. Three levels of irrational generosity. Turn to Luke chapter 10 if you have a copy of God's word or an app or something on your tablet. Luke chapter 11. And the central point this morning is this, is that giving and being generous are really two different things. Giving and being generous are really two different things. I remember my father teaching me a principle. I still remember this, where it was, 143 Carling Court in San Jose. I think I was in middle school, and he asked me to clean the garage and the carport, and I cleaned the garage and the carport. I did as little as I could to say that I cleaned it. I remember he pulling me outside, looking sternly, and he said this to me. He said, doing just enough is not good enough. Give your best. Do your very best. Doing just enough is not good enough. That was a great principle of a work ethic. You can just check the box, I did it, but did you give it your best? Give your best. So when it comes to giving, there's giving, then there's being generous. They're two different things. So the first level of generosity is to give spontaneously. To give spontaneously. That is, there is a need, I can help meet that need or part of the need, and I give spontaneously. I mean, that's honestly how a lot of people in America, a lot of Christians give. There's an earthquake over here and need some help. Or there's this, you know, United Way. There's been flooding in Houston. How can we help? And there's a need. There's a kind of an emotional pull, and we try to meet that need. And that is a very good way to give. It's an important way to give. And we see in Luke chapter 10 a very famous story that Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan, where a Jewish man was attacked by robbers and he's kind of left unconscious and bleeding on the path, and religious leaders walk by, see the need, and you know, I don't want to get my hands dirty, and they kept walking by. And then a Samaritan to the Jews, that was offensive, like they're beneath us, we don't want anything to do with them. And Jesus tells a story in verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him into an inn, and took care of him. The next day, didn't do just the minimum, the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have. He went above and beyond. He didn't do the minimum. He was an irrational, generous person. And with this type of giving, spontaneous giving, you see a need, right? And then there's like an emotional pull, like he had pity on the man. I feel sorry for him. I want to help him. And then because he has a good heart, he was a spontaneous giver. And that's the way most people give, and this is a good thing to do. There's a need, you have an emotional pull, hey, this is really important. And you have a good heart, and so you spontaneously give. That is a good thing, but don't stop there. This is a good place to start, but not a place to stop. There's another part of that. And if we just give spontaneous, it ends up being just if there's a need emotionally, then I give emotionally. It's a great thing, but don't stop there. We need to move to level 2. Level 2 is this, is I give strategically. Spontaneously and then now strategically, meaning you plan on giving. And there's a lot of you that believe like, you know, I want to give more. Great, you can give more if you plan for it, if you actually make a plan for it. So you plan, okay, God, when you supply, when I get a babysitting job, if you're a teenager, that when you supply, I'm going to plan on giving it. When I get a paycheck, when it comes, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to give to you first. I'm going to plan on it. I'm going to plan on it. And when you plan to give, you end up giving more over the course of time. This is an act of worship. This is an act of honoring God. Say, God, you will supply in some fashion, and strategically, I put a plan together to give. Tithing is a giving plan. A percentage type of giving is a giving plan. Irrational generosity is not by accident. It's intentional. Intentional. In Isaiah, it says this, generous people plan to do what is generous. That's the way they think. It's not just emotional. They plan what is generous. And they stand firm in their generosity. I mean, I'm committed. I'm going to do this. It's not going to waver back and forth. And they give according to a plan. Generous givers plan to give generous. Now, how many of you are Chick-fil-A fans? Chick-fil-A fans, all right? Don't you believe that God needs to provide a Chick-fil-A in the county here somewhere, all right? Right, if all of you growing up in the South are like, hey, man, I've been praying for this. Well, Truett Cathy, who started Chick-fil-A, when no one knew who he was, when no one had ever heard of Chick-fil-A, he had a plan. He had a strategic plan for several things. He planned on not being open on Sundays. Doesn't make business sense. People want to eat somewhere Sunday. I don't know how many times I've turned into a Chick-fil-A on the East Coast on a Sunday. And I'm like, it's a plan. He wanted to honor God and not have his employees work. He gave them a chance to rest and to worship. He also had a plan way at the beginning to give money away to his church. 2 areas. To his church, God provides, we're making a profit. It's a plan to my church. Also had a plan to give back to his employees. And over the last 30 or so years, according to their plan, they've given away $46 million to his employees for different scholarships so they can go to college. It wasn't just an emotional, oh, there's a need, here's some bucks. No, he planned it. He planned it. He said this at one point. He said, nearly every moment of every day, we have the opportunity to give something to someone else, our time, our love, our resources. I have always found more joy in giving when I did not expect anything in return. It wasn't this, oh, there's a need, I have to emotionally react. No, it was a plan. And he has eyes to see opportunities to give generously. Give generously. Are there any Hobby Lobby fans out there? Okay, thank the Lord there's one in Tacoma. I'm glad it's that far away. I have another budget item in my budget. But Hobby Lobby was started by David Green. He started it by taking out a $600 loan back in the day, and he quit his job, which made his wife nervous. For $600, he started Hobby Lobby in his living room making small picture frames. And early on, he had a plan when God supplies what he was going to give. Now he is a multi-billionaire, one of the most generous Christians in the world. Green has given away $500 million to churches and Christian organizations. Started when no one knew who David Green was. Hobby what? They had a plan. He had a plan. He just opened up the Museum of the Bible in D.C. He paid for that $500 million more. So he loves the Word of God, and he wants as many people to understand the power in the Word of God. He planned strategically to give money away. He also said a couple things. He said this, if you have anything, or if I have anything, it's because it's been given to us by our Creator. He acknowledged right off the bat where the source is. So I have learned to say, look, this is yours, God. It's all yours. And I'm going to give it to you. I believe with that mindset, one of the reasons why God has blessed Hobby Lobby, with that heart. He says, you cannot have a belief system on Sunday and not live it out the other 6 days. It's not a church thing, it's a lifestyle. Planned to give. In fact, he is already planning after he is passed away and in heaven. He says, if Hobby Lobby needs to sell or reallocate, give it away. He said, here's the plan. It's already a plan. 90% of any profit is going to be given away to Christian organizations. And then 10% is going to be in a trust fund for his family for health care and education of the family. So he's already planned to do this. He gives strategically, not just emotionally. So my question is, do you have a financial plan? As God supplies, in whatever mode that is, as God supplies, you have a plan in advance of what you're going to do. My wife and I already talked about, hey, when this comes in, we're going to change the percentage of what we give. Because we're thinking about it, we're planning. And there's so many people, and maybe even here, like, I don't have a plan at all. Actually, most people do have a plan when it comes to money. They plan to spend it. They just plan to spend it and then wonder, I don't have enough and I want to give more. So besides this series, we want to present to you something else that has been an absolute mind-blowing experience for so many families over the last number of years. It's a biblical plan to become free financially. Get out of so much bondage of debt so that you can be blessed and be a blessing to others more with your finances. Watch this video and be ready to write the web address on the bottom so you can start taking this class.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Classes start in April, so go to gracepointkidsup.info, sign up. It will change your life. It will change the future of your family. So do you have a strategic giving plan? Do you have a strategic giving plan each month, each paycheck? When you receive the generosity of our government when you give a tax return back, they're so generous. Do you have a plan for that? Do you have a strategic giving plan? Do you have a, if you would come into an inheritance, if you would sell your house or a business and make a profit, do you have a plan for that? Wait a second, that's mine. No, where does it come from? Do you have a plan when you die? Where your resources will go? What's your strategic plan? Three levels of irrational generosity. We give spontaneously, it's awesome. Give strategically. Number three, give sacrificially. Give sacrificially. When I had a chance to go to Israel, my wife and I, in 2012, we got to go into a realistic a synagogue in Nazareth. And it was smaller than I thought. The seating was not like we have. It's actually in a big square. And with this in mind, when Jesus was here, an offering was taken, and he strategically placed himself to see what was going on. He said this. Jesus said, Jesus sat down opposite of the place where the offerings were being put and watched the crowd putting in their money, meaning they had to come up. It wasn't passed. They had to leave their where they sat and come up and give. Had to come up and give. And he saw them putting in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Now, they didn't have paper currency. They had coins. So when it was large amounts, you could hear it. Clang, 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 clang. You know, it was loud. But a poor widow came and put in two very small coins. Clink, clink. Worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." She put in more. Why? Because they gave out of their wealth. She gave out of her poverty. She put everything in, all she had to live on. Three observations from this scene is Jesus watched her give. He's watching us give. Jesus allowed her to give. He didn't stop her. Ma'am, sorry, you don't have a lot. It's okay. Okay, why did he do that? I mean, heaven wasn't like, we need those 2 cents. Because there's a blessing we receive when we give. Didn't want to rob her of that. He watched her give, didn't stop her from giving, and then he celebrated how she gave sacrificially. Hey, guys, look, see her? That was awesome. He celebrated it. Last Sunday, I got home. Actually, we were out to eat with Kenny's parents and received a long story of someone in our church, her tithe story. She gave me permission to share, so thank you, Darlene. She shared how a number of years ago, she had a recent divorce and she had 4 kids. She didn't have much at all. It's hard to make rent, hard to pay for everything. And she said, in my mind, I felt like God had given me a pass forgiving, because obviously God going to give me a pass because we didn't have anything. We didn't have much at all, and everything we had, it was tight. She goes, but I grew up understanding tithing and giving, and so here's a single mom with 4 little kids, an apartment. We went to church, and one Sunday the pastor began teaching on tithing. I'd heard it before, done it before, and she began where she sat having a kind of a conversation with God, like, I don't have enough to give. We don't have enough to live on. And in the quietness of where she sat, Holy Spirit talked to her. And you know it's the Holy Spirit because, one, it's biblical and it's nothing you would think of yourself. God was like, Darlene, if I can take care of the sparrows, I can take care of you. Well, I have $114 left in my bank account. And my tithe would have been $100. Pure faith, she wrote a check for $100, placed in the offering. Later that night, she's in her room by herself and trying to go to sleep, and she began to have this argument with God. God, are you serious? Did I just really do that? She goes, on the way home, I had to get gas for work tomorrow. Now we're down to $4, and I have four kids, and I have two bags of Top Ramen left. How am I going to feed my kids? I'm going to pay the rent. She began to wrestle with God in doubt. Why did I do that? In her quiet room, God said, Darlene, if I can take care of the sparrows, I can take care of you. She said, I was overwhelmed with peace, went sound asleep. The next morning, getting ready, had to go, and she goes, I went to go leave the apartment, and the door to get out was stuck, and she was like, huh, did the kids leave their toys out? And she pushed through the door, stopped in her tracks, and her whole balcony, her whole porch, was filled with bags of groceries. Goes check the mail. And there's a card, an anonymous written card inside, $600, which would have covered the rent. And all had it a Bible verse. Here's the Bible verse that was in that card. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? See, this is a private conversation between her and God. This is not a coincidence. This was her heavenly Father saying, you trusted me. Just wait, let me show you a little floodgates of heaven. She gave sacrificially by obedience. And she was never the same. But giving again. I mean, it's just like God is my heavenly provider. When's the last time you gave sacrificially where it cost? It was maybe even stressful. It was like, really? When was the last time you received a blessing because you gave sacrificially? So much of us, and it's just, I'm no guilt here, it's just the way it is. As Americans, we often give out of our wealth. That's what Jesus saw. We don't, pour coins in to show off. That's awesome, but some of you are God's blessed you in so many ways. When's the last time you gave sacrificially, though? Spontaneously, strategically, and sacrificially, as an act of worship. We don't give just to check a box. We don't do just enough. We give our very best. Because we have a God who has done so much for us. Because all that he has done, this is what we do. This is what we do. It's an act of worship. As 2 Corinthians says, it's a joyful giver. It's a hilarious giver. I get to give back. Whether it's starting as foundational tithe or even beyond that. And we're just like, I get to. It's a blessing. This is what we do because of what he did. Now, if you're fairly new to our church, we have a lot of new families. This is what we do as a church when it comes to finances. This is what we do as a church. Is that we do everything we can to be good stewards of every penny that God brings in. And we just view it as God brings it in. And how we spend wisely and prudently. We put safeguards in place to guard what is given and is counted and who counts and how it's deposited. We'll be very safe because we take God's gifts to this church very seriously. We are working hard on a plan to pay off this mortgage for this new building, and not in 30 years, but in 15 years. Because we want to be better stewards of God's money on a plan right now. And as this church, what we do, here's what we do as a church, is we continue to give as God supplies. We give out to this county, to needs, and around the world. We give to organizations in Kitsap County, and we want to do more. We give around the world. There's this church that we give to every single month in Germany that are reaching out to refugees and unchurched people around the world coming through Germany. We give every month to a hospital of hope that we helped build in Togo, West Africa. And we now supplied money every single month to Christian chaplains who are reaching Muslims that are coming for physical health. We give to help farmers in Mozambique learn how to grow crops that actually bring crops with the purpose of building a relationship with them so we can point them to Jesus. We give money so that our students in a week or so can go to Houston and help pay for the leaders and encourage them with all the other extra supplies so that they can go help somebody else and be a blessing somewhere else. We put a lot of money into printing off hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Easter invite cards, not for them to sit on those tables, but for them to be passed out so that everybody that comes in contact here can we can help them meet, know, or follow Jesus. That's the filter of everything that we give, organizations here, around the world, what we do here, everything's through the filter of how do we help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. This is what we do as a church. Why? Because of what he did. We're not here to play church. We're not here to just do church and put on programs and teach. We believe that God wants to change people's lives through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And part of growing and following after Jesus includes the finances that he has supplied us. This is what we do because of what he did. Here's the question. Are you a part of the we? Of this is what we do. That's the question. Are you a part of the we? What are the Bible verses, prayers, I call it a prayer, but it's a Bible verse, all the time. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. As I'm on my knees praying for what God wants to do here, is that God, you are able. I don't know why I remind God this, but I do. You are able, God, to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine. According to your power, I have got none. According to your power at work in us for your glory, for your name, for your reputation, for your kingdom. That's why we're here. And God, thank you that you are blessing us and that you are drawing people here and you're drawing people that need to meet, know, and follow Jesus. And I'm excited to say we are in a position now because of the blessings of God and reaching people that we get to, we need to, we must to add a third service on Sunday morning because we keep running out of parking spots. So we're going to start that, talking about it. Okay, you can clap. All right, I don't want to hold you off. That's another opportunity to reach 500 more people in Kitsap County. More information details after Easter. We got people. We don't just do church here. We have a task. We have a goal in mind. Until the trumpet sounds and Jesus calls his church home, we got work to do. And for all that he did, this is what we do. This is what we do. We're going to close like we have with our offering. It's our tithes. It's above and beyond our tithes, our offerings. God, for all that you did is what we do. And I was so encouraged last week, several couples who this is the first time giving. I got caught several times. They're like, okay, Pastor, we sat down last night. We wrote our very first tithe check. And they were like nervous but excited. And I'm like, I can't wait to hear what God does. I was watching, my wife and I with some friends watching, I can only imagine, last Saturday night. And while I was fully engaged in an amazing movie, God spoke to me. Not audibly, I would have freaked out, but I know it's God because I am so focused and engaged. And God said something that's true to his word, and I knew it wasn't me nor the enemy. As I'm watching this movie, he said, tell the people tomorrow, you don't need their money. Grace Point doesn't need their money. I want their hearts. I want to bless them. Like I said last week, I'm not doing this series because I need your money. I don't want your money. Grace Point, God will take care of us. It's his problem. It's above my pay grade.
What I want is to see, have you experiencing God in ways you've never experienced? And when you give to God, you're going to understand He is so faithful. Faithful to love us, faithful to forgive us, faithful to bless us. He is so faithful. So we're going to sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," to wrap up the series. Would you stand with me as we pray, then get ready to give? God, you really don't need our money, but you always want our hearts. And money and wealth and stuff get in the way of positioning you perfectly as number one in our life. So God, I pray as those even today are going to sign up for this tithe challenge for the first time, and it's going to be scary, and you're going to test them to see if they'll follow through. But God, what I know you want, and what I'm looking forward to hearing is how they experiencing you in a deeper, more powerful way. And they have eyes to see, wow, look at my God. What is he doing? God, you're amazing. God, move in our church. Take our church to another plane, another level, starting with me, so that we can be the church in Kitsap County that you want us to be. God, thank you for all that you do. And we sing about your faithfulness, and we give out of grateful hearts, worshipful hearts, saying, for all that you've done, here's a little bit back to honor you. Lord, bless those who are trusting you in this area for the first time. Bless them. Open their eyes to see you at work in their lives. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, that there is no other name. We pray in Jesus' name, we say, amen.